Okay, Ramblers, let's get rambling.
Now where it is now, everybody wants a piece of the market.
Oh my God, that is funny!
I don't remember asking you a thing.
Now funny how? I mean funny like I'm a clown, I amuse you?
With all due respect, what the are you talking about?
Oh, I'm sorry, did I break your concentration?
What the so funny about me? Tell me what's funny.
You represent the idiocy of today.
I did not know that.
English, motherfucker, do you speak it?
Are you listening to me?
How's my shit together?
Nice personality combination, hostile and intolerant.
So that's it then. No one else really knows anything.
Hello and welcome to Stacking Jacks. I'm Tom Al. I'm Matt Byrne on the board. We got Greg Pappas in the studio. We'll have Mr. John Flanagan on later and Nancy Long Graham. It'll be an interesting morning. We had people doing a lot of research here on some of these couple of buildings. There were one in particular, went for auction here downtown at like a ridiculous, well, went for what I would consider a very low price. What do you think, Greg? Is it ridiculously low?
90%
discount. Yeah, it was like the first bid at an auction or something. I mean, but, you know, being Chicago, well, we'll talk about it when John's here. You ever think these things are rigged? I mean, someone might think might be.
Someone might have had the heads up. You just got to be on the inside.
The presidential towers went to the Pritzkers at a very, very low price a long time ago, didn't it?
It's good to be the king.
It's good to be. Shall we say, on the inside? What was the song? I'm in with the in crowd. I go where the
That's
in crowd
right,
goes.
Yeah. Ramsey Lewis, I want to say.
Was it really?
Yeah, all the.
Now that just brings me to a point in history for the Chief. Was we went to Milwaukee Summerfest and got there nice and early, and they, you know, they have the, well, I don't know if anybody knows, but they used to have a big concert, which we never went to because I was always kind of a jazz guy, and all the different beers back when they had beers up there all had a different, like, Oasis, where they had bands where somebody had a rack, but every year we would go to the Miller Jazz Oasis. And we got there at like 5 o'clock. Got the picnic table like right in front of the stage. You know, beers are $1.50 a pitcher or something. Not bad. And I think we wandered in. The Riverboat Ramblers were playing. And they were, you know, whatever. They were the Riverboat Ramblers. But after them for like an hour and a half or two was the Ramsey Lewis Trio. And those guys are awesome. And after that, guess who? Who's about the best jazz trombonist, you know, in those kinds of settings, was Maynard Ferguson.
He's a trumpet player.
Trumpet player. Yeah, he was what a night. Just sitting there drinking beers, and men's room wasn't too far away, and it was a nice night. You know, beautiful.
Well, you know who's headlining the Chicago Blues Festival this year, right?
No, I do not. Who?
Buddy Guy.
Really?
Buddy Guy's back in Chicago. It's
110?
I don't know if he ever left.
He's been touring. He's been all around. He's been doing like his, you know, farewell tour. He's in his 80s, so that's a free concert in Grand Park. I'll be in attendance.
Really, I went down and saw the. I mean, she died soon thereafter. Who was the first lady of blues here in Chicago? She played
Mavis Staples.
Coco Taylor.
Yeah, went down and saw her at the.
It's her birthday last week.
Prairie State or someplace. She used to play at the. Back before I got up at this hour, we used to go to the Wise Fools a lot. And the quiet night long before that closed. But All right, Greg, we got to talk about markets here. What is going on? We had Friday. Well, I keep saying this. Most unusual days.
North Korea launched the missiles overnight. Nobody cared.
Nobody cared. But Friday, some of the big stocks. We had Nvidia down 30 some bucks, which is
they're up 20 this morning.
Yeah. Well, now 14.90.
Oh. Okay. Well, maybe we can sell some puts in Nvidia.
Maybe, you know how many shares outstanding these guys have? I'm thinking about $30.
I don't know.
Take a wild stab.
Shares outstanding?
Yeah.
No clue.
2.5 billion.
There we go.
So 30 bucks is what?
2.5 billion. Wow.
Yeah, it's a lot of money. $775 billion.
What's his
the
name?
Market cap?
Someone tweeted that Nvidia lost, I don't know, a couple hundred billion last week in market cap. And then Elon chimed in and he said those are rookie numbers right under.
God. What is that guy? He's the Trump of execs? He watches everybody's tweets all day and he has to comment?
I think that's just good marketing for Twitter.
X.
X. Whatever.
Its SMCI was down $200, which is a real number.
I still don't even know. Have you ever had something that they make or used something?
No, but we got the whole story from Carl on Friday or whatever it was. He comes in tomorrow morning.
We need to listen to that because...
He'll be on tomorrow morning. Cool.
What do they do?
They do something.
Well, I know
what
they do, but like, what if I...
Well, you know, it's weird because he was talking on Friday regarding somebody. Was it Intel? Or I think it might have been Intel. Came out with this new chip that you can put in I don't think we put it in one of our computers here, but if you have a $2,000 processor or something like that, you can put this new chip that's, you know, it's not a NVIDIA AI chip, which is like 70 pounds, but you can put that in there and you can do...
Well, it's not that heavy.
The big, huge thing is the circuit.
The biggest thing is like...
40 pounds.
Call it like this, like a handheld.
But it's not. The chip is not a chip. It's a big board.
Cell phone, right.
Well, anyway, but he said this one, for a lot less dough, you could put Greg Pappas in there and all of a sudden have you speaking, giving a speech that you never gave, and nobody know it wasn't you.
Mm.
He said, so you can get, you know, some percentage of AI now for like $2,000 and not have to have this. So the idea that NVIDIA is going to be, you know, 10 years from now, people have to buy $40,000 chips from, you know, NVIDIA to do this stuff is crazy because it's never happened in the industry. It took that long. It's not like drugs where the government gives you, you know, 15 or 17 years to steal, whatever you want. It's not like that. I mean, nobody gets a patent on these things. Well, if they do, people get right around it. So, I mean, the idea that they're going to be the only company involved 3 years from now, I mean, that doesn't mean
NVIDIA's not... No, NVIDIA can't be the only company, but...
Well, I'm saying they're going to keep
AMD
nipping...
AMD was huge. Qualcomm was huge. Is huge.
But they're also not dead.
Right.
And they're coming right back at them.
Yeah.
But, I mean, this one, I think, was Intel. I'm not positive, but I'll ask Carl again tomorrow. So I wouldn't invest on me trying to remember the name of the company.
I just don't know what SMCI... You know what their product is. I can.
Why don't we have Matt look it up?
I see the graphics cards. I remember the the Quadro and all like the GPUs that they made. And I know this over the years. I've bought a bunch of NVIDIA stuff. SMCI. I'm still struggling. You know, what is it?
Well, according to their website, they help you prosper, which is as vague as you think it'd be.
Help you prosper? What are they, Spock? Live long and Spock?
I think so. It's something along those lines. SNE, yeah.
SMCI was... They went from... I don't know. They went from like a $10 billion market cap all the way to like 40 this year.
Yeah. Information technology company based in Southern California. Has manufacturing operations in the Valley, Netherlands, and somewhere else. And it's Science and Park in Taiwan. Well, there you go. Well, they do something, obviously. But yeah, I mean, that's all when you think about all this. But what do you make of the VIX? Do you have the VIX going? Your buddy Tom Lee, Mr. Bull, no matter what. But he says that the reason why the market's going to go back up is because the VIX. If you look at the VIX futures going out; they go down over time.
So if they're going down over time, people have less concerns in
right.
The futures, and they're selling the back months more so than the front.
Micro is one of the largest producers of high performance and high efficiency servers. It also provides service management software and storage systems to various markets, enterprise data centers, cloud computing, artificial intelligence, AI, 5G, and edge computing. What the hell is edge computing?
It seems they do a lot of storage based stuff with the cloud and whatnot.
Well, that's all part of it. I mean, obviously, if you know, I'm not an expert on this stuff. Where you know, Greg Borno is way more than me, but it seems like it's all kind of a herky jerky thing for the last 40 years, isn't it, Greg? People ended up with ability to analyze stuff, but guess what? You couldn't store anything, right?
Then, wouldn't you like to be able to kind of buy what the stock you're buying though? Look at it, just.
Well, I mean,
a little interesting for me.
I never bought anything. I never bought an IBM product, like some big computer.
Yeah, but you could go to the store and buy 10 of them if you wanted.
Yeah, well, I mean, Actually, when did IBM get out of the desktop and all that other business? 20 years ago? They used to be in desktops.
Right, right.
Who did they sell that to? Or did they just bag it? I think they sold it to somebody, didn't they?
IBM got sold, or did they combine with Lenovo or something? The Lenovo bought their hardware business.
Well, no, they bought their consumer laptops. Business or laptop yeah. or something. Yeah, it might have been them. But I mean, what do you make? I mean, can you, Friday, when I started the conversation by saying Friday was out, you know what was out about it? Is your NASDAQ actually annihilated, you know, with NVIDIA and SMCI and a bunch of other ones. Meta was down a bunch. It was a horrible day for the Qs. The Qs were down like 10 bucks. QQQs being the ETF for that sector. Yet, at the end of the day, maybe when we're down a bunch, finally one stock in the transportation average went down. Every stock in the transportation average was up. No, nobody cares about the, you know.
So the Dow was...
Dow was
the Dow was up, the NASDAQ was down.
Yeah, let's get the real numbers if we're going to pop them out there, dull people. Dow was up 211. A lot of that is in this, United Health was up again, I think. The S&P was down 43, which is, but the NASDAQ was down 319, it's over 2%. 2% is a big day.
Yeah.
And the Russell was up, so... I mean, it was taken apart to 7 plus SMCI. You know, and we get this kind of rotation, but at the end of the day, I think we're down more than we're up. I mean, so now today everybody's bouncing back.
In the commodities world, silver was going a little nuts.
Yeah, now they're all coming back down today. Silver's down a buck. It was up to 26, so it was over 26 on Friday. Gold's down again today, down 50 bucks. So, I mean, I think a lot of it has to do with this.
Yeah, a buck on a $25 product. Or a 25-cent product.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's huge.
Well, I think a lot of it has to do with, we might have Mike Pound in later, but I was kind of worried about this Israeli response, and yet I think what they did, if ever something in war can make sense, was probably the most intelligent thing I've ever seen that guy do. I mean, they essentially, what they do, they landed a couple of missiles or something right by one of the defense batteries for Iran's nuclear facility. So they basically told him, you can't get to us, but guess what? We can get to you, so watch your step. And Mike is convinced. Evidently, it was
it's more about sending the message,
yeah.
Is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Don't mess around, or else we're going to be off by, or we're going to purposely go to the left 30 feet next time.
Well, and it also was, you sent 300 pieces of crap toward us, one of them got through. We sent one, and you didn't even know it was coming. So realize how much better our technology is than yours, and back off. Back off, bozo, basically. And Mike thinks that if he piles on, well, if not, he thinks they flew, probably was launched from a fighter jet, like a long way away, and guided in. And Mike thinks what they did is they got permission from Turkey to go over them. No, who knows? Well, man, who knows? By the time he comes on, we'll know if he's right. He suspects that they went over Turkey and over the Black Sea, and by not going over Jordan, we could say we had nothing to do with it. We didn't guide it. We didn't do anything, because in both the U.S. and Jordan are essentially are clean on the deal. Which, if they did all that, somebody was doing some thinking, right?
Right. Yeah. That's. But is it really? It doesn't matter in the end if their power and their ability to generate energy and or weapons gets turned off. You know, that's
well, a huge we really don't. The last thing we want is any kind of direct conflict. Well, we don't want what's going on now, but you don't really want any direct conflict, especially if there's like three countries between the two of them. I mean, you have to go over. Was it Jordan, Syria, Saudi, Iraq? Or Turkey, right? To get, I mean, there's 1,300 miles difference between the two countries.
The ICBMs, those are.
Well, but I mean, the ICBM is going to go up high enough where I guess once you're in orbit, nobody cares if you go over your country. There's a question for you. What's the difference? I mean, if the
cruise missile.
Well, I'm saying if we send a satellite over Russia,
2 hours versus 9 hours.
No. I'm just saying in terms of incursion of other people's space. If you've got a satellite in orbit, going over the Russians. Somehow or another, I don't know if there's a treaty. Where's Lou when I need him? Is there a treaty that says that's okay? They can run satellites over us. Yet if you put a Blackbird, those planes that got up, or those planes that were so high and so fast,
those are outdated.
I know they don't have any more, but I'm saying, so 100,000 feet at that speed is an incursion, but if you're in orbit, it's okay. Evidently. Right?
Well, in orbit, there, you can't really change that, can you?
Sure you can.
You're going to...
They have enough juice in some of those to move... Didn't you ever read Patriot Games?
Where
no. They could change the satellite?
Yeah, you can change it, but, I mean, it's not like you've got a plane with missiles and or a threat.
I'm saying that if we... But you know, the U-2, and then it was a Blackbird, and there's something else.
Now we got drones and satellites.
Yeah, but there's some plane that's still super hot. It might be as fast as the Blackbird or whatever that we still use for reconnaissance. But
Dark Star.
Yeah, I don't know. Who knows what it is? But the well, my point is, you can have all these satellites over somebody and nobody bitches, and as soon as you send a plane over 9 zillion feet at a million miles an hour, and that's a problem.
Yeah. The plane is the plane could be carrying stuff.
Well. Who says satellite?
At least they know the satellite is, you know, laser or whatever.
All right, so we have the VIX is only down 41 cents today. It's still over 18. So, you know, stuff is still hot in terms of option pricing. What do you make of that?
I mean, personally looking for stuff to sell because it's kind of still a little bit high for me, so looking at options and including NVIDIA, but just want to let out a little bit of a little bit of premium here, meaning collect some. But I don't know if your people are into the collecting.
No, but let's talk a little bit. All right, where are we? NVIDIA's up 12. So that's 774. So I'm looking at the 760 yeah. straddle for this Friday, as it closed Friday night, is $48.
Right.
So that's a number.
Right. Now... That's a little risky for kind of what I like, but I wouldn't be on a short term basis angry if I got a sign below 700. So,
okay. Oh, by the way, your buddy Trump, his company, Donald J. Trump.
Oh, the what's it called? The media.
Yeah,
Truth
the media
Social.
Thing. Yeah. Didn't they? Matt, look this up so I don't screw this up.
Sounds good.
They came up with... The stock is way below where it came out, right?
I think it came out around 35. And then it rallied to 70, and then it was back to 35.
Let me look and see here. I got it trading 20, like, forever. Well, here's a...
No.
On 1/5/24, it was $17. When did Trump get involved?
Wait a second. We're talking about just a month ago when it went public, or when it SPAC'd, or the whole process.
Well, they've got this thing trading. Like, anyway, it got to
it
a high.
It was DWAC, and then they changed it, I think.
Oh, all right. Okay, so here it's got a spike up to 50, then it came down, then it's been hacking around the 40s and 50s, and went all the way up to 66. Then it cratered down. So the guy, the chairman... He's going to do everything in his power to stop the short sellers. When does that idiot mentality ever end? Well, the idea that it's all these nasty short sellers, our stock is really worth a hell of a lot. We come back from break. I'll give you a story.
It's a popular talking point.
I know. But you were like the Chinese. You know, we can't let people sell stock. How about this? How about if we pass a law that says no one can ever sell, you can only buy, and everybody's within 6 months, everybody's going to be richer than avarice ever dreamed of, right? Every stock's going to quadruple because nobody can sell. Everybody vote for that. But it's kind of. Don't you want stuff that's supposed to be the value?
I think it's just talking points. I'm not sure everybody's
oh, no,
actually
it's not.
Doing things.
I'll give you a quick story after the break because I was actually an expert witness at one of these things where some kind of guy was just irate that they were short selling a stock.
I mean, Elon was doing that too.
Oh, yeah.
But
the Chinese do that.
It's...
We want to be like the Chinese?
It's just for talking points. More you're in the news, the better.
These dudes are serious about it. I'll give you an example. When we get back, S&P futures up 25, NASDAQ futures up 94. We come back with Mr. John Flynn and talk about some interesting goings on in the real estate markets here in Chicago. And never have I been more convinced that all this stuff kind of ties together. But we'll be right back, Stocks and Jacks.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to factor in the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other life decision. Your brain is smarter than your gut, and that's why you owe it to yourself to read Luckbox. We've made it easy because Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with timely, actionable trading ideas, and equips you with savvy investing tactics you don't already know, all while exploring how to live your best life through music, spirits, food, sports, travel, fitness, and a whole lot more. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on controlling their financial futures. It's for overachievers and alpha types who don't buy into Wall Street's investment gurus. It's for mavericks who believe in life, luxury, and the pursuit of happiness. It's for you! Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. I think most of you know that I'm also the Chief Investment Officer at PTI Securities and Futures. There we invest for and help a wide variety of clients, and you know what? No two are the same. Some have legacy stocks, some concentration issues, some maybe embedded tax issues. The others might need or want some portfolio protection. There could be estate issues or maybe new family members. The point is that we are all unique and the portfolios should match. However, the last several years have seen a relatively one-way market. It seemed that all we needed was to be all in. No protection, no fixed income, just be all in, no matter who you are, what your risk profile or age. Most management firms love that. Take this and like it, no matter who you are. Be careful with that. You are not everybody. I think most see the market view going forward as maybe different than the one looking back, so your portfolio should reflect that. Maybe it's just as simple as your life station has changed. Towards that end, we are accepting some new clients needing a more personal approach and are interested in negotiating the future and not with a portfolio designed for the past. Find me at 312-663-4310. That's 312-663-4310.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR. Innovation in Human Resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Stocks, Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now. Right here, right now. Right now.
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. Sometime I'm Matt Byrne on the board. Greg Pappas in studio. S&P futures now up 27. NASDAQ futures 101. We're trying to come back from Friday's fiasco. Fiasco on the NASDAQ anyway, where it was down like 300, so it's back about a third, and the S&Ps are probably up pushing half, so there's a little bit of a, you know, the NASDAQ was the one that got hurt, and then NVIDIA was down 30, now it's back 11, SMCI was down 200, and it's down another $1.80, so no, that's not even a dead cat bounce, but Dow futures are up 204, we got bounce backs just about all over the world. Your DAX up 93.5%. It was down, I think, a full one on Friday, so it's not exactly a bounce back. FTSE, however, is up 131.6%. CAC around up 18.2%, so that's barely a bounce back. We're in Asia, these guys were getting hammered last week. Nikkei today is up 370, a full 1%. Hang Seng up 287, 1.7, 16,500. Shanghai the other way, down 20, 3,044. We're going to get Greg's opinion as to why every day now it seems the Hang Seng does not match up with the Shanghai. I don't get that at all. But then I'm not the China expert. bonds. 4 basis points, 4.66, seemingly creeping slowly towards this 5% number. The Bund up 5 basis points, 2.55. Japan up 6.89. I'm going to say that's a high for the last decade, damn near. Oil up a penny, 83.15. Brent down 58 cents, 86.71. Natural gas unchanged, 1.76. We've got gold, whack, down 58 bucks, 23.55. Silver down $1.28, had a big rally last week. Not so much today, 27.55. Copper unchanged, 4.50. Copper's been the most steady creeper here, from under 4 to 4.50. So if you'd gotten copper and just stayed with it, really haven't had a pullback at all there. Again, review of Friday, Dow was up to 11, S&P down 43, NASDAQ down 3.19. We've got crypto up 1,100. It's had a big, horrible week last week too, bouncing back 65,888. And last, the U.S. dollar, 106 to the euro, 123. So the dollar is still pretty strong, especially against the pound. A lot of stuff there. What do you got for us? Traffic, weather, sports. Cubs, doubleheader on Saturday, 40 degrees. It was just swell.
Oh, yeah. Oh, definitely. Yeah, currently 6:37 a.m. right now in Chicago. That's April 22nd, 2024. As far as weather in Chicago, we're looking at 43 degrees this morning, high temperature of 64 degrees downtown today. Clear skies right now. Cloudiness will increase as the day goes on. And happy Earth Day. Today's weather is ideal to enjoy the outdoors. Down in Phoenix, Arizona.
Are you going out to plant some dandelions or something?
Why not? Yeah, some dandelions. We could use a few more, especially downtown. 70 degrees this morning, sunny skies for the whole day, and with a high of 98 degrees in Phoenix. Expect a searing sun today down there. We've got the NBA playoffs yesterday. Game 1, Celtics went over Heat, 114-94. Clippers beat Mavericks, 109-97. Bucks take down Pacers, 109-94, and a close game. Oklahoma Thunder take home a win against New Orleans Pelicans, 94-92.
That was a tough game.
Yeah, absolutely. We have the MLB Cubs lost to Marlins 6-3, and White Sox lost to Phillies 8-2. That's all I got now, Chief. Back to you.
What do you think, Greg? White Sox, what are they, 3-15 or 18? Or
going three, for the three, record.
Yeah, what are they, 3-18? Something, it's pretty bad. The you know, if they just had a new stadium. Just saying.
That'll fix everything,
turn everything,
yeah.
Around, turn everything around. Mr. Flanagan, how are you?
I'm good. How about you?
I hear... even though you're a, you know, you're a MAGA kind of guy, I hear they're coming after you today for shorting Trump stock.
I leave that to the pros, huh?
Well, I mean, a guy like you just slipped in there, sell me 5,000 shares, you know, and all of a sudden you're up, you know, 10 bucks on your 5,000 shares, and that's why you're a MAGA guy. You just made 50 grand on the guy.
It's all about the opportunity, Tom. Seize the day.
Seize the moment. So what did you think about the Israeli strike? I thought it was about if you're going to do something, it delivered a bunch of messages, didn't it?
Oh, there's messages all over the place, Tom, and most of them in code.
Yeah, well, we can get to you. You can't get to us. And in this day and age, I don't know how, if you're Iran, unless you're just trying to keep yourself in power, how you can have a war against somebody with satellites when you don't have them. I mean, I can't even conceive of that working. Can you? I mean, I don't see how you... It's like the Civil War when they... The first... wasn't the Civil War the first war where they used balloons, hot air balloons, to look and see what the other guys had?
Yeah, surveillance.
Yeah.
And then the Franco-Prussian War. 5 years later, so
yeah. Well, I think
they were not considered strategic weapons, for targeting anything, but they were great for reconnaissance because there's just a shock value. People hadn't seen anything like this before.
I think the World War One ace. I think if you shut down a balloon, it was a kill, wasn't it?
Yeah, if you got a zeppelin or something, you know, that's pretty.
No,
not high stakes.
Well, not a blimp, but well, the zeppelin wasn't a blimp, but
seems kind of like. Seems a little easier than shooting down a plane.
Well, you know.
Yes.
Well, plus, it's not shooting back.
It's not shooting back, and it's about 50 times the size.
You never know. A guy might have had a 45 in the thing or something.
You could take out your pistol in the fight or start firing at it, and you'd still hit it.
Well, the Zeppelins had a contraption where they could fly above the clouds. So here's a case where cloud cover was helpful in reconnaissance, and they would lower a guy down in the car who could communicate to the ship above him that was hidden in the clouds, and he was free and clear and could see what was going on, and he wasn't that visible from the ground. So very inventive.
Very inventive. I saw this History Channel, thank God we go off on tangents, but it had to do with the first day they invented the flamethrower. So all of a sudden, you got these trenches where you couldn't get across one to the other, and how people, get around every sort of thing. And these guys get this flamethrower, and all of a sudden the people in the trenches are going, holy bleep. Well, then they figured out if you fired into the flame, you nailed the guy who had was holding the flamethrower. So it ended up being like the worst job to have is being the guy carrying the flamethrower, because they lasted about 10 minutes.
Oh yeah.
But they killed a lot of people. And I love I was always kind of curious on this, because my uncle married a lady from London who became my aunt, obviously. Oh, God, I thought she was absolutely spectacular. She was had the great accent, but she also spent World War II. Not all of it, but whenever there was a bombing in London, she and her mother spent the night in the bomb shelter in the backyard, and her father and brother slept under this big, huge dining room table. How would you like to sleep with your old man underneath the dining room table for like 3 years? Well, actually, the Blitz wasn't that long, but still, it was a while. Probably felt like longer. And some people went into subways and big blackouts and the whole bit. Anyway, her father had lost a lung in World War I from being gassed. Can you imagine them taking out a lung in 1918? Mm. What did they use for anesthesia? Or did they? Did they even have ether? They must have had ether.
Oh yeah, they did have ether. Yeah.
But still,
chloroform,
stuff like that. And what did that do to your system for how long? Good Lord. He made it to somewhat of an old age. But anyway, the story was you couldn't put gas in artillery shells, right? So somebody decided, well, that doesn't mean you can't have gas from hoses and stuff. So somebody, I think it was the Allies.
Is that called a dirty bomb?
It was something. But the whole routine these people used to have, they'd carry a big, now everybody's got a backpack. These guys had a side pack, and you would have this breathing apparatus where you would breathe through, the thing was full of charcoal, right, Jen?
Yeah.
And you would breathe through, and charcoal filters out a lot of that stuff. They ended up deciding, okay, well, we can't have utility shells because where's the place where they make all the news?
Or I guess rules? A dirty bomb would be nuclear.
Yeah.
This is just chemical.
Yeah. Well, but people would duck down in the trench. But the gas was heavier than air, so what you had to do was get out of the trench. But people didn't know that the first time they were gassed. Anyway, they had these guys crawl on their bellies with hoses at night across between the trenches where the trench warfare was going, and brought the heads of the hoses, like a garden hose, near the other guy's trench and creep back. So the next day they turn the gas on, and all of a sudden all these guys are dying. The wind comes up and blows it back at the guys who and they ended up getting killed too. So it's like, the stuff that went on in World War One, could anything have been other than maybe the Civil War, could there anything be more brutal than that, John? I mean, you didn't have any
more questions. The scale of the of the carnage in World War One is hard to grasp. The Civil War was terrible. World War One was much bigger numbers and much more lingering injuries, many more lingering injuries after the war.
Well, you sent people essentially from on a big invasion from the. You went up against machine guns, basically, and you sent people against machine guns. Can you think of anything dumber than that? I mean, and yet they would do that. Just anyway.
That's like the Charge of the Light Brigade meets the 20th century.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy stuff. But, Jen, we want to talk somewhat about trying to tie a lot of things.
I got a quote for you guys.
Uh oh.
I looked
it up.
Is
it clean?
It was from Citadel on being accused of manipulating the DJT stock. Devin Nunes, or however you say that, Devin Nunes is the proverbial loser who tries to blame naked short selling for his falling stock price. Nunes is exactly the type of person Donald Trump would have fired on The Apprentice. If he worked for Citadel Securities, we would fire him, as his ability and integrity are at the center of everything, or as ability and integrity are at the center of everything we do.
And he isn't either.
And then TMTG replied, this is after they criticized Devin Nunes. TMTG replied, Citadel Securities, a corporate behemoth that has been fined and censured for an incredibly wide range of offenses, including issues related to naked short selling, and is world famous for screwing over everyday retail investors at the behest of other corporations, is the last company on earth that should lecture anyone on integrity.
He does have a point there.
So they've got their... Yeah, I told you, this is all publicity. This is not serious.
Well, John, I was mentioned. I think I might have mentioned before, without naming the company, I was actually an expert witness on from a big outfit that was absolutely convinced over a long period of time that their stock was being buffeted by illegal short selling. And actually, I know some people who were fined because they abused some of the short selling laws in terms of letting people know if you were short. And what people would do is they would, what was the trick? Gregory, you'd run around and you'd buy a position from somebody else, and you get out of your short position, but put you right back into a short position because you had short calls or long puts. You end up right back in the position. And but one of the problems comes down to, I mean, this is what I had explained to these people after they sent me a retainer, is the guy says, well, these people are buying puts and they're causing the short selling. And I said, and these specialists are selling, and they shouldn't be short selling. I said, okay, let me help you out. And this is how this works. I said, if the particular stock has option trading on it, and you could maybe make the argument that the company's not big enough, I know you guys wouldn't want to hear it, that this thing shouldn't have option trading on it. I mean, you know, back when I started, there were only, God, how many stocks were there? Well, they were up to about 100 when I started, but they started with like 15. These are the 100 biggest stocks. So now everybody gets options. And, you know, too much 2 weeks out of the gate. And there's a gazillion stocks that happen. Some don't trade, some shouldn't trade, whatever, in one man's opinion. So what ends up happening is if you're a market maker, okay, now from the call side, if somebody comes and buys a whole bunch of calls, say you're trading, I'm looking here at Walmart, it's up $0.04, $59.57. So trading opens, and I'll sink back to a time when people are on the trading floor. Some guy comes up and he says, where are you on the 60 calls, and I go, I'm, you know, two to an eighth. All right, I'll buy 50. Yeah, okay. The next guy, where are you in those calls? Well, now I'm 2 to a quarter. I'll buy 50. Now, of course, you immediately assume a rat is running up your leg by this point. And the next guy comes in. Now you're 2 and an eighth bid. Easy. It might be 2 and an eighth, 3/8 because you're just hoping the next guy sells you some so you can at least scratch, buy and sell for the same price. The first 50 you foolishly now sold. So everything is okay if the next two guys are sellers, but they're probably not. Okay, so what do I do to hedge myself, which I probably should have done on the first 50 lot? If the stack is, Greg, don't let me go too far down this road. If the stack is...
right now what Tom is explaining is you're caught long.
Right. I'm caught short because they want to be long.
Right.
So now all of a sudden... Stock's 59.57. I'm going to say the 60 calls have a 50 delta, meaning that the option is going to move half as much as the stock at that price. So my neutral position there is to buy, if I sell 50 calls, I'm going to buy 2,500 shares of stock. Okay. So then if they buy another 50, I'm going to buy another 2,500. Or I could even say, well, whatever the world's seeing that I don't have the memo for, this stock's going up, I may buy 3,000 or 4,000 instead of 2,500, right, Greg? I might try and get ahead of what I think, whatever is going on that I don't know about. Of course, once you do that, the next two guys come in and sell you options, then you're really screwed because you got too much stock. So it's not easy being a hedger, right? But take the mirror image of that. If somebody says, I want to buy the 59 puts in Walmart, okay, well, now I have to get short stock off because my hedge on that is being short the stock. I'm not trying to be the insurance company of the world, right, Greg?
I think you went a little bit fast. Imagine this is similar to, say, you knew 9/11 was coming or whatever,
yeah.
And you knew that the airlines were going to go down. So you,
which somebody you, did, it seemed,
buy a bunch of puts, and that means that you get to sell the stock. Well, you bought them from probably Citadel or whoever, and instead of actually, they're long the stock synthetically.
Maybe.
So what they do is short sell.
Yeah, you short sell. So if you can, that's if you can
what,
find it.
That's what TMTG or DJT or whatever is probably complaining about. The stock is very expensive to borrow, so only the larger houses could do it. So DJT probably is complaining that they're lending it out and or shorting it themselves. So they're also they're able to sell those options too.
Yeah, if Dan Flanagan wants to buy stock and I want to short it, if I go short, I have to borrow it from somebody. I have to have something to deliver because John wants his stock, right? So I need to borrow it from Greg. Well, the stock is not always available, correct? Which makes it very, very difficult.
Right, because the float is so small.
Yeah.
In especially the newer ones and the ones who haven't. The lockup hasn't expired either.
Right.
So this stock is just flying all over the place because, A, there's not a lot of it, and, B, the company doesn't really make any money. It's trading based on kind of the
hype,
yeah, the hype of the day, or whoever's
the hype of the
winning
Donald.
The TV, yeah. Yeah, winning the TV argument. So, the more sophisticated houses say, or whoever said, all right, well, we're going to borrow it, we're going to short it because they don't make any money and they're not a $1 billion company. They're and so they're selling it and they're collecting money for. Writing options too, so it's a long way of saying you've got an unfair advantage.
Well, if you can't locate it, you sure don't as a market maker,
right?
So, Janet, I mean, I know I'm way too far. Greg and I are over the top of the retail people listening, but I'm going to go one little step further. Is if it behooves me to find somebody who actually has some of the stock that they can borrow that I can borrow from. But I can tell you if a stock is hard to locate in terms of borrowing, normally there's something called, John, please don't fall asleep, but you asked me the question, it's all your fault. if there's something called put-call parity. I mean, I used to do this all the time by hand, and Greg probably can still maybe. If you were to say to me, IBM, well, we'll use the Walmart example. Here's the interest rate, here's the time to expiration, here's what the dividend is, and I'll tell you, and the 60 calls are trading for $2. When I was quicker at this, I could immediately tell you where the 60 puts should be trading. There's something called put-call parity. So if I were to buy a put from, or somebody were to buy a put from me, I'm short a put that's the exact same position as being long call short stock. It's the equivalent position. It's called a synthetic put. Again, I'm way over his head, but the point being is if you can't borrow the stock, if you look at all everybody's trades option, and a lot of retail people do, kick up your Schwab or your PTI. Notice I put Schwab the same size as PTI. You kick up your PTI homepage, or if you're doing it through IB NRIB platform, you're going to get all these stocks. I mean, let's say for instance, I'm looking right here at NVIDIA. Okay, so I look at the 750. Puts and I look at the 780 calls and the stock's trading 772. They kind of line up in a way where they look like they're sort of okay, right? Because of put call parity. But all of a sudden I see, let's say the 25 hour out of the money puts are the same price as the $10 out of the money calls. I'm immediately going to say, wait a minute, that's not right. Correct, Greg? So the only reason that would make that right is I can't borrow the stock, which means there's going to be two prices. So the market makers, the specialists, who's ever there, all of a sudden can't adequately make a market in the stock because the put-call parity piece doesn't work. Am I right, Greg? Because you can't borrow the stock.
Yeah. Not being able to borrow it would affect your prices that you're listing on the options.
Right.
Not that anything's right or wrong. It's just hard to borrow, so you're gonna demand more for taking that risk. And... in terms of the smaller stocks that are brand new and have small floats, you know, that's just to be expected.
Well, so, Jan, last on this topic, then we'll hit to something on real estate everybody understands. I'm doing this expert witness stuff, and all of a sudden this is before people had really good cell phones, and I don't know what was it about lawyers at the time. Lawyers are so dumb, they obviously didn't realize that when five or six people got on a conference call with a cell phone, it was like useless, right? So I, of course, was on a landline, doing the show that the landline works a lot better now. The cell phones have gotten good enough to where you probably don't have to do that. But anyway, so these guys are going, yeah, these people are doing this to short the stock and blah, blah, blah. Stock had been around for years, and I'm not going to say the company. And I said, I got a question for you. And they go, what's that? I said, well, I don't want to ask this because it's probably not going to be all that popular. They go, no, that's what we want you for. You're our expert witness guy. I mean, if it's like somebody's going to ask you it in court and you're going to make a fool out of us, you might as well do it now. I said, well, let me ask, the stock's trading like $35. I said, let me ask you, where do you think the stock should be? Dead silence. One lady goes, what are you talking about? And I said, well, if you think you're being harmed by the stock being at $35 because these nasty short sellers are out there screwing with it, where do you think it ought to be? 80? 70? I mean, I looked at the stock. You guys have never made any money. I look at this and I say $35, it's fair. It could be high. You're going to try and get some damages out of this. So I think, not being the attorney, that if there's any damages, you got to say the stock would be $60 if it wasn't for these nefarious people. And here it is at $35 and we're being harmed. I said, I do you think it should be $60? And the one lady goes, I never even thought of that. I said, where do you think it ought to be? I mean, it's like this Trump company. What do they get, $4 million in revenue? And how much, what's this thing worth, Greg, or something?
A lot.
Yeah.
I mean, the market cap is...
It's huge.
I can look it up for you.
Anyway, so, John, look, you drove market us down
the
road.
Market cap is $5 billion.
Yeah. And what's their revenue? $4 million? Something like that.
It doesn't even come up on Yahoo because it's probably too new.
Anywho, so John, you asked, did I help there or did I cloud you even more?
Well, just give me more homework, Tom.
Well, I mean, it's not that easy to do. I mean, people used to do this in their head and they have their reversals and conversions all done. So if you told any good trader where the call was trading and where the stack is, he could tell you where the put should be. And if it's not there, something's wrong.
Or you're trying to get it there.
Yeah. Or you're trying to get it there. But, so anyway, Jan, we're going to talk a little bit about this week in the...
It lost $58 million in 2023. It made $51 million in 2022.
How'd they make it in 20... What'd they make it in 22? What'd they do in 2022 to make money?
I don't know, but they're like net even for 2 years. It said Truth Social owner generated $4.1 million in revenue.
Wait a minute. How do you make $50 million if your revenue is only $4 million? Something's weird.
I don't know.
That would be... I'd love to do that. Anyway, what would he do? Rob people and they come in on top of them buying a sandwich?
It looks like net was 1.5 in 2022 and 4.1. Or no, it was negative in 2023.
Anyway, Jan, we've been trying to... we have to go to break here. Let's do this because I've been trying to... I'll talk about it when we get back. SP Futures up 29, NASDAQ Futures up 101. We're trying to make a comeback here. So far, we are. Be right back, Stocks and Jacks.
One of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456. Or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Stocks, Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Of all the gin joints in all the towns in all the world, she walks into mine.
A little more face Stacks and Jacks. I'm somehow at burn on the board with a couple of good.
Del Shannon, yeah.
And that, you know what there was a theme song for?
No, I don't.
Crime Story.
Really?
With,
wow.
Dennis Farina. One of these days, I guess we could have a party. I have the entire, like, 3 years or 4 years of Crime Story.
Huh.
and I got it not because I. You know, I don't know how it ends. Essentially, for those who don't know, Jen, whose story was that? You should know.
I don't know.
That was the Tony Spilatro story, basically. Tony Spilatro, for those that don't know, essentially invented sports gaming in Las Vegas.
Mm.
He was Ray Luca in the movie or in the show, and essentially said. If you tied until that time, Matt and listeners, until that time, every bookie was pretty much on his own. If he put a game down, a bet down on the Bears in, you know, 1958 or 1960, the bookie he booked the bet basically, which is not really what you want to do. Obviously, for those that don't know it, all this stuff ties together. I mean, that's the theme of the show. If there is a theme, I mean, if you're in Chicago, all these things forever it's paid 11-10, right, John? Your odds are 11-10 on the game. So there's the point spread. If the Bears are favored by 7.5, and you bet the Bears, and they win by 7, guess what? You lose. But you got to put up 110 to win 100, correct? It's been like that, you know, since the cows came home. But if you're a bookie in Chicago, probably you're going to get $10,000 from idiots betting on the Bears and $3,000 on the Lions. So the bookie's like, now what do I do? Well, they used to just take the bet, I guess, in the old days. But what those guys did is said, if we could put a system up in Vegas where we could take these bets down, every bookie is going to, essentially, if you got $10,000 bet on the Bears and $5,000 on the Lions, you're going to take the $5,000 and you're going to bet it in Vegas. So you're going to lock in if it's 5,000 and 5,000, you're going to lock in your $500 on both sides and make 1,000. You're going to be the house. You're not going to be a gambler. So that's what they did in Vegas. They brought essentially bookies together out there, and that was Tony Spilatro's idea. But he was Ray Luca in the show. Anyway, the reason why I have him, John, is it's a huge period piece of what Chicago used to look like. It was all filmed here. You see the corners they go by and the gas stations and the buildings that used to be there. I don't know where else you can get that history than in that show.
Mm.
You know, anyway, it's more than you needed to know. But, John, what is going on with, we're going to have Nancy calling in a few minutes earlier. We've got this real estate, and we've been talking now the last month or so. And, you know, what's going on in Chicago? What's going on? Where is the money? Where are people making the dough? You see inflation hurting every man. You see people scrambling a little bit. You see prices continuing to go up. And yet, the price of apartments is high. You see articles regarding some drug, $1,000 are charged and it costs them $4 to make. you see these amazing, seemingly discontinuities in the economy. And John, the reason why I think like this is my final from Milton Friedman. Even though he told me the two courses, he gave a two-part course, that they were totally separate. Well, then he said the final will cover both courses. And I didn't really have any place to go. And I was like the guy in the officer and gentleman. I got nowhere else to go. There was probably 150 people that were in his class every day. Like 20 showed up for the final. The rest of them had just audited the class or done something. Anyway, the final was something simple like somebody, you know, some politician just come out with a stupid economic idea. So the test was, here's the idea. Follow this through stock and flow from start to finish where this all goes. So it was all about taking the idea, was a tax cut, whatever it was, take it all the way through. Who's harmed, who isn't, who's a benefit, who doesn't, and essentially think through what you're doing. And that's really hard to do. I mean, it's really hard to do. But you see it happening now, all the imbalances, and it's kind of interesting how it sort of came together this weekend. This guy's got his apartment for rent. Well, first of all, I was having this debate with one of your attorney buddies on last week in Eastern Chicago. It's going to be fine because downtown is going to be, these hospitals are huge, and they're just, Northwestern will buy any building that they possibly can, and they've got all this power. People are giving them dough. They're hiring so many people. Every Friday, Carl does nothing but talk about how many people that have been hired are in the healthcare industry, how many of them are in overhead versus how many are actually helping nurses and doctors. It's a massive discontinuity, I think. So sure enough, I'm talking to somebody, and no, not Odd, who's doing a rental property. And they get all these applications. Because my point is, how are these rental prices, like this attorney was telling me tonight, how are they going through the roof if people are leaving Chicago and jobs are leaving downtown? Evidently, they're all in the medical care area. So sure enough, this person has all these applications for this apartment. And they give it to this. I don't know if you don't know, Jen, but what people are doing now, I don't know in order to do what, I have no idea, but is they're requiring, this is the owners requiring people to have like three times the salary per month as the rent. You know, with credit scores of like 650, 700, that kind of thing. Anyway, so this one couple gets the apartment. And I said, okay, did they meet all the standards? And the guy goes, yeah. They make like $165,000 a year. And I say, okay, what do they do? Of course, the guy's in medical supply, and the lady works for a hospital. I mean, that's where the dough is. And yet, how long can that go, John? I mean, I had this MRI a year and a half ago. Thank God everything came out fine. It was for my spine. It wasn't for, you know. And there was a place for $250 you could walk in. There was a place that was better thought of. It was like $500. That's where I went. I think Northwestern was $6,500 or something. How long can you have this massive pricing difference where somebody charges 10 times as much and so they can buy all this stuff and pay these people all this money, and yet the rest of the world, someplace, somewhere, people are going to find a way to stop paying $1,000 for a drug that costs $4 to make. And whether it's a revolution in the patent laws, it just can't go on forever, I don't think, on the economic side. Now, it has for a while. Stop me talking. Tell me, how is this all going to come together, in what way? And is it are we going to start taking out people in that profession? What are we doing here, John?
Well, it will continue as long as you've got kind of, you know, lopsided, you know, demographic where people, you know, have no trouble affording stuff at crazy prices and don't really miss the money when they pay for these things, whether it's real estate or drugs or anything else. And then you got a much larger and ever-growing part of the population that is completely shut out of all of this. They have no bargaining power price-wise. They don't participate in, you know, any kind of price setting because they're not even in the market as buyers. They're completely disqualified. And the example you give of, you know, editing the applicants for, you know, apartment rentals, if you can stipulate, well, I want this person to have a credit score of this, and I, you know, X number of a factor over the rent, you've effectively deprived, you know, lots of people who otherwise might be able to swing it from even being, you know, in the queue. So that's going to continue, and I think it's going to become even more extreme As you know, the money continues to flow from all over the place. You know, if we can give $95 billion as we just did to Ukraine and you know, Taiwan and Israel, I mean, where did that money come from? It came out of your pocket. It came out of my pocket too. If we keep doing that, then there'll always be an inequality in the kind of competition you've got for anything. To talk about real estate just a little bit, I did dig into that 216 West Jackson building that we were talking about last week, and Carl, and people were weighing in on email too. The building sold in 2014 for $22.5 million, I think. It was a $16 million mortgage on it, so the borrower went in with
about... It's not that big of a building, right? This is the building where Luke's is?
No, it's 12-story. It was built in 1899, so it's like a lot of other properties that are now probably considered third-tier buildings just because of their age and size. They were good buildings when they were built, but they've been completely outclassed by, you know, construction. You know, after that, pre-depression and then post-depression, these buildings are the survivors from another era, really, when office space had very different dictates and supplied very different purposes. But the borrower went in 2014 with about $6 million in equity. The building went into foreclosure a year ago this time. I'm not sure exactly what the balance was at that time, but I suspect it was probably pretty close still to $16 million. It doesn't sound like much was paid down. It went to a judicial sale last November. The lender took possession of the property and just recently had an auction, to find someone to take it off of their hands. And the successful bidder bid $2 million. So that's, that's the sales price now for this property after the lender has taken a $14 million haircut. And by the way, this lender, it's mortgage-backed securities that were bundled together. So I'm not sure how many other properties are involved in this package. It doesn't look like there was much else in Chicago as part of it. But imagine a lender who, just to get out from under this thing, is willing to take that much of a loss and just write it off. The taxes are current out. The taxes are almost $900,000 a year, and the lender, of course, has to pay those because then they're out everything. So I think they've totaled up what they've got to hang on to the property and what that means over the next 6 months or a year, and they'd gladly get the thing off of their books for $2 million. Which is just—it's just unbelievable to me. It's not unusual though, Tom. It's the norm now. I think not just for buildings that are, built more than 100 years ago, but buildings that don't have any, prospect for getting any income stream. The building at 216 West Jackson is 15% occupied, and I suspect that's 15% on paper.
15% leased or 15% people showing up every day.
Well, I think it's probably 15% leased, which means that it might be 5% occupied.
Yeah.
Or zero. I mean, at this point, you can't really, know what you're dealing with when you deal with occupancy rates versus, vacancy rates. I mean, there's all sorts of ways of parsing this. In the course of poking around in the, downtown properties, I found that 175 West Jackson, which is a building...
The insurance exchange. We were in there for years.
Discussion. 63% occupied. Which again may mean 63% on paper because there's leases for 63% of the space.
There's no way.
But how much of that?
I walk through there three times a week, and there's nobody there.
Yeah, and I suspect if you went and just did a head count, you wouldn't find many people in that building at all. And there'd be lots of offices with all the lights off. I don't see the idea of taking a property, for $2 million, this looks like a steal, but what can you conceivably do with it to even make that?
Well, I mean, the buildings are not
that... plumbing a lot of money into it.
Well, you would hit the 175, I actually know a lot about it because we were in that building, and it was bought, I'm going to say 20 years ago, by these diamond merchants out of New York, and they put $100 million in the place. And they were doing pretty darn good until... because this area is all involved in the financial... one on Jackson is a little far away, but Well, the 175 West Jackson, that is the third biggest building in the city. I don't know if you knew that or not. Behind the Willis Tower and behind the Merchandise Mart. It's a whole square block. And it actually has a... It's 175 West Jackson. I think it's 160-something West Monroe. Or Van Buren, sorry. It actually has two addresses because it's the whole block. Well, they had these big atriums. These old buildings had... You had windows on the inside and you had these atriums. Well, they covered over the atriums. So they saved a huge amount of electricity and or whatever, gas and whatever it was. And they were well on their way to turning this into, I won't say type A office space, but pretty good stuff. I mean, there were some gorgeous offices they built in there. You know what was even weirder, Jen? They used to have the old, I don't know what that was the name of the place, the Mid-America Exchange was in there. It's the insurance exchange building. And it was all insurance companies, a lot of insurance companies, some people in the finance industry. And the government had a big chunk of stuff in there. Matter of fact, it was Social Security or somebody had a big office in there, and they were, this is how your government works. I mean, I could rally you up by saying it must have been a Republican administration, but it was, it had to be in the 90s. So who the hell would be in power? Anyway, when did they build the Dirksen building? Was that?
65, 66, where the old courthouse, you at the federal courthouse, was in a whole square block, Dearborn, Clark.
I thought there was, but there's a new building over there, much newer than that, 80s or, and anyway, they had a Social Security place in this 175, and they were paying like $350 a foot. And they took them out of there 3 years before the lease was over and moved them to the Dirksen building at like $40 a foot or $35. So they were paying in both places. They had the world's cheapest rent. You know what else was there? Was the Bureau of Tobacco, Alcohol, and Firearms. They actually had a holding cell in the building. Once on a Friday night, you see them come through the door with some guy and bring him up to the cell. So the government had all these leases in there, and they gave them up early when they were paying both spots. And imagine that. But I guess when you start seeing stuff like this happening, Jen, and you see, okay, that building's a problem, 175 is a problem, you see these companies that are leaving, you see people leaving, then at the other side of the coin, leases are running up. You can't get a lease. Housing prices have not gone down at all. They've actually gone up, even with the mortgage rates doing what they're doing. Where is the money coming from? I mean, where is it just people working for Northwestern, University of Chicago, and Rush? I mean, you would think that if you took 10,000 people or 15,000 people out of the financial industry in this part of the loop, off the trading floors and off out of these buildings, that your rental properties would be going down, not up, and yet they're not. Is it because nobody wants to buy a place? Is it... Somehow, all this stuff does not match to me. It should all be going the same direction or staying stagnant or something. It's not.
Well, I was watching this video the other day about this guy. He's a real estate, ex-real estate broker down in Florida, Miami area, and he does one of these walk-and-talk things. You know, he's got beautiful scenery in the background as he's chatting along, you know, talking about what's going on in Florida. And he looks at the, you know, NAR, National Association of Realtors, statistics on median home prices. And, of course, median.
Median or mean?
Median.
So that's the average.
Which is, you know, the one that often is touted. You know, this is the benchmark for deciding, you know, whether prices are rising or falling. But his, you know, analysis of it, I think, you know, it can't be anything else than this. The only properties that are really moving now are the high-end ones, because people, whether they've got, you know, a cushy job and they have no trouble affording such a house, or they've got money that they took out of a house that was, you know, they wrote up in value and made a killing on and have lots of money to throw around and don't have to worry about interest rates or anything else when they buy something else. But the activity in lower-end properties is collapsing, meaning, you know, the stuff between $100,000 and $200,000, nobody can afford those. And of course, millionaires don't want that kind of house. But people who would want them can't get the money together to buy them. So the activity here is so heavily weighted in favor of the most, you know, the richest portion of the population and the most elaborate and, you know, high-priced properties. That's where the activity is, and there's diddly squat going on at the lower end, which is, you know, this is a very ominous situation, let me tell you.
Well, it seems like we're working our way, I mean, through this. I don't understand how to me, you know, we had this discussion the other night. I said, you know, why do people pay whatever, $5,000 a month or $4,000 a month for a one bedroom in New York City? To me, that's a very simple question. You do it because for some reason somebody's making $200,000 in New York and they'd be making 60 somewhere else. That's what they're getting paid, so they can afford it. One equals the other, right? But the idea that, oh no, people want to live here, and by the way, they're making, somehow or another, this all has to equal out, John. I mean, you have this huge overflow of money coming from some people. It's coming from the parents, which are croaking, basically. And you've got the market at this massive height of wealth. But I don't, what if all of a sudden houses drop by 20%, which is wouldn't surprise me, really, considering people's ability to pay. I hope they don't. And the stock market were to give back half of the COVID money up price, so say it goes down 20%, all of a sudden, I don't see people making that kind of dough, and just a regular job. I'm looking here, Audrey's got, it's pretty fascinating to watch it, John, on a lot of levels, but there was this, essentially a cornfield, and let's see, the thing's got to be, it goes from 153rd to 151st, roughly. Maybe a little longer, so that's two blocks. That's a quarter mile, and it's probably a quarter mile. Let's say it's a half mile long, and it's a quarter mile wide. So we're talking whatever that is. It's a big, big chunk of property. So they've put streets in and all the other stuff. And they're putting up these townhomes. Now, I think the lowest you get into one is like $650. But if you want like a toilet or something, you got to start adding nine, right? Well, Audrey went to see one of the nicest ones. It's $1 million. Now, she has been able to, because Aud knows an awful lot of people, and she does a really nice job. Aud's been able to kind of exist in this area where it's people that have bought the homes, you know, a zillion years ago for God knows what, and now they're selling it for $450, and they're moving into a townhome at $375 because they're downsizing, and they're doing okay. But now the people at the townhome, maybe they bought that place God knows how long ago, and now it's worth $375, but they got, you know, maybe finally got a kid or two. They want a house that's $450, so they're taking the cash and they're you know, getting a mortgage for $75 or $100 from Nancy. Well, I think if you have the moxie, like Aud does, to be around in that area where people have the cash and you're at that age level, people retiring, moving, people leaving the city, other people wanting to, you know, policemen wanting to move in Mount Greenwood. If you can hang in this area that's somehow untouched, you're doing fine. Yet I gotta believe that all kinds of realtors are out of business, right? Because if you don't have that experience or that backlog of people, I don't see how does somebody get in the real estate business who's 25 and expects their friends that are 25 or 30 to be buying a home now, first time buyers, unless the parents give them the dough. I mean, it seems like there's a lot of holes in this that maybe if we could just, you know, go steady for a while, we can work our way out of it. I don't know that we can. I mean, is the Fed going to pour up more money for this $150 billion that we just are going to give to people? I'm not saying we shouldn't, but it's not like they're going to go out and tax for it. You know, and the first guy who, you know, who started this whole mess is your hero, George W., right? We're gonna start a war, and oh, by the way, we're going to cut taxes like in the same year. George, you're going to do what? Yet he did, right? And we've been paying ever since. Well, the guys have done other things on top of that, but that's really how it all started, right?
Yeah, and it's when would that ever turn around, Tom? What kind of change would it look like to reset this thing? I don't see it ever being.
Well,
reset.
I mean, somewhere the numbers get too big, and that's my big concern right now. Is we should be, well, COVID's over. There's supposedly no recession if you believe that. We should not be at this point spending a dollar for every 60 cents we take in, and yet we are. I mean, in the times are supposed to be somewhat better, and obviously maybe they're not, even though they keep telling us they are. They keep talking about full employment in a hot economy. Full employment in a hot economy does not give you a 35 or 40% federal deficit. I'm sorry. Otherwise, I mean, you have to come out to, I mean, you know, again, every other day I say this, I don't want my taxes raised. Yet, you can't, what, right now, only several things are going to happen. Either the interest rates are going to blow up, because in order to get that money out of your population, you got to pay more to get it, right? So your 10-year rate, instead of being, well, it's up again today, it's 4.65, okay, so it keeps creeping. Now, if that goes up higher, then that causes a problem. Or if you get to the point where the Chinese don't show up sometime, or somebody doesn't show up, are we reaching the unheard of spot where you're only going to get 90 cents back from the buck from the government? I mean, I can't imagine that happening. But how do you not? I mean, I don't imagine, you know, me falling off a cliff. But if I'm walking downhill toward the cliff and I'm going faster and faster and faster, maybe I can stop. Maybe I can't. You know, I mean, there's you can't keep, you know, poking the alligator here, which we are now. This $100 billion, let's say it's $100 billion. There's only three ways to get it, right? I mean, we're either going to tax for it, okay, which I don't think we're going to, which we surely aren't if Republicans get in office. And I'm not saying that the Democrats are, I want to get paid, but you're either going to tax for it, which we're not. You're either going to, even though Biden's bleating about, you know, increasing taxes on the rich, or we're going to borrow it, which is going to be troublesome because we're already borrowing a hell of a lot. Or we're going to print it. Now, if we print it...
Well, either way, Tom, we're being taxed for it through increased inflation.
What?
Well, we're being taxed for it. It's just not in a tax levy, but we're paying for it in the cruelest tax of all, inflation.
Well, we're paying for it because if you lend the government right now... Let's put it this way. If you lend the government $1 million for 10 years right now at 4.6... and your inflation rate is really 9.2, you're going to get, you know, $1 million back, but it's only going to be worth, I'll try and do the math in my head, $650. And that's what we've done to people over the last 5 years. I mean, if you knew anybody, I mean, I actually know people that are not clients, I wish they were, that have, you know, $1.5 million in the bank, you know, real conservative Southside people. Fortunately for the world, because I don't think, you know, I hope they don't have any guns. Fortunately for the world, they don't realize that they now only got $1 million. Because that's what it's worth, right? I mean, but fortunately, you know, that's... We're going to have to break here for a second. And I sense Nancy there. When he comes back, we'll try and...
Yep, I'm behind, guys.
All right, well, we're going to...
Morning, Nancy.
We're trying to tie all the problems of the world together, Nancy, between real estate, between the market, between taxation... between everything, and a lot of stuff doesn't seem to match up. You know, and talking about people leaving the city, jobs leaving, and, oh, by the way, rents are going up. That's kind of weird. It looks like a lot of it's going into the healthcare area, which seemingly is on a roll that people can't afford. I don't know if you saw this weekend, one of the people on the South Side, one of the politicians, you know, some lady who I think is really good, had all these African-American women on there talking about health care on the South Side. And it's not like going to Northwestern. I mean, nobody has insurance. There's a lot of Medicaid, but what's the quality of that? Where do you go? I mean, it's really uneven. And yet we have some places where people are charging $1,000 for a drug that costs $5 to make. This, to me, is not... Somehow this has to get fixed, or it's not long-term. It just can't go on that way. I mean, I'd like to say that if somebody wanted to trade stock here, I could charge him $5 a share. I know it's too much. A, if you screw your customer that bad, you're not going to get him back. And B, it's way too competitive. I couldn't do it if I wanted to. Yet there's other industries, like this medical stuff, where the sucking sound you see is not only money going into the system from everywhere else in the economy, but you're seeing it's getting so expensive that people can't even get care. So, I mean, whatever it is, I guess the people at Northwestern want to make that money forever and control the whole city, but I don't see it happening, because someday, somewhere, somebody's going to go, I'm not paying $6,000 for an MRI. I'm going over here where I can make $600. And we'll talk about this after break. SP Futures up 21, NASDAQ Futures up 77. This all started dancing this building downtown when this chief and John's been telling us about that. And you can tell us about what's going on the south side. Be right back.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to factor in the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other life decision. Your brain is smarter than your gut, and that's why you owe it to yourself to read Luckbox. We've made it easy because Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with timely, actionable trading ideas, and equips you with savvy investing tactics you don't already know, all while exploring how to live your best life through music, spirits, food, sports, travel, fitness, and a whole lot more. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on controlling their financial futures. It's for overachievers and alpha types who don't buy into Wall Street's investment gurus. It's for mavericks who believe in life, luxury, and the pursuit of happiness. It's for you! Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456. Or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
All right. Place your bets.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now. Right here, right now. Right now.
Hello and welcome back, Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Howe, Matt Byrne on the board, and next Monday, Matt, you're going to have to explain to us how come I spent 45 minutes teaching you how to play craps and you didn't make one bet.
Yeah, it's a long story.
You could have got at least a free drink out of the deal.
That was when they got a craps, isn't there? Yeah.
Yeah, so there you go. S&P futures up 23, NASDAQ is 85. Sounds good. We were up a lot more than that earlier. This will not be good technically if this rally fades. I don't think it will. I think we actually will be up today, but... And again, what do I know at this hour in the morning? Dow futures up 185 over in Europe. Let's be real quick here. And these guys are bouncing back. They were all down last week and Friday. DAX up 86.5%. That's not enough of a bounce compared to how bad they were last week. FTSE, however, is up 125, 1.6. That's a real bounce, over 8,000. CAC around up 12. That's not much of a bounce at all. It's barely moving. Over in Asia, a little bit of a bounce here. Nikkei up 370. It's a full 1%. Hang Seng up 287, 1.8%. Shanghai over down 20.7%. Again, those two are opposite directions. They seem to be doing a lot these days. Bonds up 3 basis points, 4.65. Creep, creep, creep. Blend up 3 basis points, 2.53. Japan up 6 basis points, 0.89. Oil down 46 cents, 82.68. Brent down 86 cents, 86.43. Natural gas up 2 cents, 177. Gold, whack, whack, whack. Well, it's only down 55. Was down 60 last time we did this. 23.58. Silver down $1.34 after being up all last week. 27.50. Copper unchanged at 4.49. Friday again, Dow was up 200. However, that's because most of that was from United Health and a couple others. S&P down, was down 43, NASDAQ down 319. So we're up exactly half of what the S&P was down, not even close to that on the NASDAQ. Again, NVIDIA was down $30 on Friday. It was up 15 when we walked in. Now it's only up 5. And we had this SMCI was down 200. It came in, it was unchanged. Now it's down another 18. It's under 700, 695. So whack, whack, whack there. We've got Bitcoin up 1,200, 65,950. That's trying to come back from a horrible week. Matt, what do you got for us? Traffic, weather, sports.
Yeah, good morning. Currently 7:36 a.m. on April 22nd, 2024. As far as weather, we're looking at 46 degrees this morning, high temperature of 64 degrees downtown today. Clear skies right now. Cloudiness will increase as the day goes on. Down in Phoenix, Arizona, 71 degrees this morning, sunny skies for the whole day with a high of 98 degrees. Going to be blazing down there. In the NBA playoffs yesterday, Game 1, Celtics win over Heat, 114-94. Clippers beat Mavericks, 109-97. Bucks take down Pacers, 109-94. A close game we mentioned earlier, Oklahoma Thunder take home a win against New Orleans Pelicans, 94-92, two-point difference there. On the MLB yesterday, Cubs lost to Marlins, 6-3, and White Sox lost to Phillies, 8-2. On Saturday, though, Cubs played a doubleheader against the Marlins. Game 1 was 3-2 in the Marlins' favor. Game 2 was 3-5 in the Cubs' favor. That's all I got, Chief. Back to you.
Yeah, so Nance, we're trying to tie together things that don't look like they're tying together. The rents in the city going up is downtown vacancies where people used to work don't work there anymore. Where the hell is everybody working if they can afford all these rents? Or is it just, you know, or are areas of the city, nobody lives there anymore, so they're only in certain areas? I mean, something doesn't seem to add up here, and I can't figure it out. That's why, what do you think's going on there?
Well, I've been listening, and I kind of agree with John. I mean, it's crazy. I don't think there are any definitive answers anymore. I mean, we're I just heard you describe the property by Aunt's house, and people are buying this, and you've got to sit back and wonder where it is. But then at the same time, you're saying that the inflation rate is going up. You're right. It doesn't make any sense. There's no clear path out of where we're going.
Well, are you seeing people, I mean, any other than maybe in the health industry, who's making this dough? I mean, who's getting this kind of raise for 40% in the last 5 years that they can afford this stuff?
That is a question I just don't have an answer to. Do you, Jen?
No, I think it's, you know, if you are part of a casino capitalism, you know, system where you make your money by anything other than labor or expertise, but just, you know, making it magically appear or betting or something else, I don't know how you are surviving in any kind of, you know, competitive market like Chicago or any other big city these days. I think you're long gone as you've got some kind of, you know, access to funds that the average person never will have. So I think there's a total detachment. I mean, I hate to sound like a Marxist, but you know, when you have an alienation between, you know, what you do and what you realize from it or the satisfaction you get from it, I think it's going to be harder and harder for people to do an honest day's work that is worth anything like what it used to be, meaning you're not going to be able to afford much of a house or any house at all. You're not going to be able to afford much of a car or an education for your children or put money aside for retirement or anything else. I think you're looking at a strangled middle and lower class that are all going to be impoverished before they're through.
Well, it's really hard to see somebody making 15 or 18 bucks an hour going to get his car fixed and see the guy at the dealer charging 150 bucks an hour. You know, wait a minute. You know, how does that even equate? But evidently it sort of does. I mean, you get these pockets of areas where people can charge more. Obviously the medical stuff is at least matched the inflation, it seems to me. Other stuff seems to be, I mean, as well. I mean, any kind of service industry, I think you attorneys have raised your prices enough, Jen. I don't know if you get paid, but you've raised the prices. In some places you can, and some you can't. I mean, I don't think.
Well, let's say some attorneys, you know, can charge whatever they want. The average attorney who's trying to make money doing real estate closings is probably doing 8 other things to make ends meet.
Well, you've got to be. You got to have the corporate person who's. You need somebody who's benefiting by situation. I know one friend of mine who's knows somebody who's in the the mergers and acquisitions business. I mean, I think that guy's up to 9-something an hour. Well, those companies can and will pay. I don't see somebody paying somebody $2,000 to get off a traffic ticket. I mean, it's a little much. I mean, it seems like things are. I think it's brought upon by this wealth bubble. That in the last 20 years, I mean, Nancy, you know more about people's finances than anybody. How many people have made money? Even a lot of blue collar people that have a nice 401k and so forth. I mean, your house has gone up, and by the way, your stocks have gone up if you had them. But that can be transitory. That's the problem I have with it. I mean, stocks can go down. I mean, this Nvidia was down $30. Now who knows where it should be priced? I have no idea, but it was down $30 on Friday. There's 2.5 billion shares outstanding. So that's, what is that? $75 billion coming out of a company in one day in wealth of people? Well, I'm not predicting it. What if it drops another $300-$400? How many people thought that was theirs forever? And yeah. Is the money you're seeing flying around, Nancy, this is a tough question. Is it somebody's, husband and wife, or it could be anybody, making $100,000 each a year at whatever job they're at, putting $20,000 away a year apiece, like people used to, at the end of 5 years coming to you and saying, all right, here's our $100,000 to put down, we got more than enough for the mortgage, or is it some kind of a wealth transfer? I mean, I don't see people saving tremendously off their paycheck in 90% of the households. I don't see it, but you're the one who sees more than I do.
To tell you the truth, I'm not seeing that. I'm not seeing it at all. A lot of what you guys said today, I am seeing. And I don't know where we're going, you know, for the future. It's just, you can't nail it down anymore. I mean, before you at least knew kind of how to get out of certain things. But like you're saying, even if they're not taxing us, you know, John's pointing out you're paying the tax and the inflation anyways. That everyone says we're not in inflation. So it gets very confusing, but the middle class is definitely, definitely, definitely getting squeezed. And then the poor people, I don't know how they're doing it.
Well, I think they aren't. I think they're foregoing medical treatment. I think they're foregoing a lot of stuff.
That could be. But in Medicaid, I mean, they don't get a bill, but like you're saying, they don't get the same treatment either. So I don't know what the answer is here.
Well, I have people...
You know, long term.
Well, you and I know people, and John, that allegedly have Cadillac policies. If you need a specialist, what's the wait? 2 months? 6 weeks? I mean,
If you're lucky.
I mean, that's not medicine. I don't know what that is. And how many people? If you're from Danville, Illinois, I mean, you never get to see somebody in University of Chicago or Northwestern, do you? How the hell do you even know they exist?
Well, that's just it. And the seniors are. That's another issue that's coming up. Is if you are looking for, let's say, your GP passes away, your general practitioner, whether it's an internist, family practice, whatever, and you're trying to switch, they're just saying we're not accepting new patients.
Right.
So, and it's really about that they don't want to take on, they don't want the practice to be so, in other words, they can take so many people on Medicaid and so many people on Medicare, but they can't have their whole practice of that. They have to have a balance, and that's what I'm seeing happening.
Well, how many
just turning people away.
How many people are in the concierge medicine where you got to pay your guy even if you don't go see him? That's what everybody's doing down here. I don't know if anybody doesn't. I mean, I have somebody. I mean, I don't. You pay them, so you get their cell phone number. I mean, other than that, can you even find a GP anywhere?
I hate to say this. I have gone the concierge route, but it's just because when I'm really sick, I need to get a hold of somebody, yeah, and not have to pay $1 million out of pocket and wait. I've had too many serious things go wrong, right? I can't do that. So I decided to go the concierge route, which is...
Well, so what happens if you can afford it. What if you couldn't?
I know what you're saying. I was on that line. So I know exactly what you're saying. You know, I had to give up something else to get that. And I more and more of the giving, I can't, there's nothing much more you can cut back on.
No, that's, you know, what do the Irish say,
Jan? That's the point, isn't it?
Well, yeah, I don't think you're Irish, but the Irish say you can't get blood out of a turnip, right? How many people know what a turnip
is?
Not even in Ireland.
The crowd is soaked with blood.
Yeah. I don't want anybody who has wealth to lose it. But looking at it, which I shouldn't because all those aggravate me, but we have a lot of listeners that really participate in the show a lot and send me a bunch of stuff. And somebody, I sent it to you. I forget the stuff I send out to everybody. I think I sent it to you too, Nance, in the last, maybe it was 6-8 weeks ago, talked about the dichotomy in the wealth in the society and how the number one time ever was in 1929. And then it was 2000. About what percentage the top 1% and 5% owned of all the rest of the stuff, and we're pushing the 2000 number now. That this is the third time where people have so much of that money. And actually, I'm cleaning up in here, but one of these, there is a piece of paper that I talked about where this has to be. I mean, Jan, you're more of a historian. It has to be the only time ever, the both of you guys, from the end of World War II to like 1975, maybe it was later than that, maybe it was like 1980 something, all five sectors of the economy, 0 to 5, 20%, 20 to 40, grew at almost the exact same rate every year. And I'm going to say that never in recorded history of any country did that ever happen. I mean, the idea of the middle class and the lower class actually moving with the upper class for a period of several decades, I'm going to say, unless you get back to the Philistines, where nobody knows what they did, I don't know any other place that's ever happened in my economic history. Now, John, if you know something more than me, please say it. But not, since then, it's on exactly the opposite, where the top 20% has done so much better than everybody else. But that's even an issue, because if you take the top 20% of the top 20%, that's where like all the money is. It's not even the top 20%. You could say you're in the top 20%. Even you didn't grow as fast as the top 1 to 5%. Not even close. And it's not just us not being in that spot complaining. It's just not healthy. The economy is way better off if 50 people buy a bass boat than one guy buys a yacht. I mean, right? I mean, I think so. It's more.
That's what's different, I think, Tom, between say 1929 and any other period of gross inequality, is in 1929 there was a real estate bubble.
Sure, there was.
People at all levels were participating in whatever wealth was flying
around. That's a gross misconception. You know how many people?
No, but what I'm saying is people were not so priced out of things that they couldn't afford a house. They couldn't afford by and large, they were employed somewhere or another. What I'm saying is that people in 1929, even at the low end of the earnings scale, were not deprived of the opportunity to buy and afford a house. A brand new house.
In the 1920s, was still 50% of the population was rural. And for 10 years, the rural people had not only been in a recession, they'd been in a depression by any... You know how many people own the stock market was going crazy and people were buying Duesenbergs? People like Nance were driving around in an Auburn or something, or a Doozy. How many people, Nance, I'll ask you, what percentage of the population own any stock whatsoever? when you hear stories about even the, you know, the shoeshine boy and all this kind of crap, all had his stock. Well, there was a shoeshine boy in Times Square, probably, but what percentage do you think of Countrywide owns stock?
Minuscule.
I would say not much.
Like 7.5%.
Yeah.
It's got to be extremely low.
All the money was concentrated at the very top. All of it. I mean, in 2000 was almost the same with the dot-bomb companies. And we're getting there again. You know, and it's just not healthy, and it's sort of non-sustainable. The question is, you don't want anything to crash to even it up. We don't want to see 29 evening things up, right? That's not what we want to have happen.
But the thing is, we're already in much worse shape than that. Nancy, my gut reaction is from looking at what people are saying in other places is that, yes, inventories of houses for sale are up over last year, but sales of houses are down over the past year. So that you don't see a collapse in prices, which you would think if these properties aren't moving, the prices would, you know, start to come down pretty fast to make them affordable. That doesn't seem to be happening either. You have a sense that inventory is up from the kind of activity you see, but the actual closings are down?
I can't say that, but I kind of can go along with what you're saying on the fact that I see people saying, well, if I'm looking for something, the rates are going to go down. Like somebody called me the other day and said, well, the rates really aren't too bad, right? And they'll go down after the presidential election. And I just don't see that happening. And it's difficult to have to say that to the person, but, you know, whether you do it, I think the what's in front of you right now is the best it's ever going to be, is right now. I don't think waiting for the presidential election and then see what happens next, it's going to really be any better.
I agree.
Because you've got what they just allocated for more migrants to come. And I mean, we're looking at problems that we've never had before. We have, you know, homeless people living in streets, and now we're accepting more people to come that we have no place for them. If we had a plan in place, this would be great. But we don't. Now you're hearing statistics about how the remote learning didn't work and all the kids are behind. I mean, we have problems coming up that we haven't even dreamt of. And we have rumblings of problems coming up that people are ignoring, and they're saying, well, the interest rate will be down after the next presidential election. It just can't, because we're so far in debt and we're taking on more.
What
is that making sense?
Why, Nance, did anybody ever think that learn from home crap? My nephew's lovely bride is a teacher. She goes into, well, COVID was what, 2 years, say? Well, say 3 years. She was easy a year and a half behind. And my cousin from Columbus has been a math teacher forever. She retired, but now she's running around doing tutoring for kids after school because, I said, how far are they behind? A year and a half. They lost half the time. Why does anybody think that didn't happen?
Why can't we just say that, you know, that we're going to set everybody back 1 year?
Or
try and fix this.
Why don't we try to go for a summer and catch up or something?
Yeah, 12 month school year. It's still going to take us a while to come back to where we thought we were.
Right. So all I'm saying is, why can't we solve some of the problems we have without taking on any more? All right. I mean, it is what it is. But people are saying, oh, you know, this presidential election is going to fix it. I can't. The problems are too big.
Yes, we can't. We have one of my friends told me, you guys know where CVS is, right? Well, Jen does, I know.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. You know, at one point, CVS had 5,000 kids there, and not one of them was in a college prep program. It was a vocational school.
And there were a bunch in the junior college there, too.
Yeah.
Over and above the high school, yeah.
So why exactly when my nephew tells me every Sunday we have dinner at my brother's, and he's in the metal business, he goes, we can't hire anybody because nobody knows how to read a drawing, nobody knows how to do anything, we can't find an inspector because... We don't have any kind of quality managers. I mean, they're trying to hire people. Yet, Tilden Tech lies vacant. CVS is damn near vacant. Why don't we have doing the stuff like Kevin and the group is trying to do in Indiana? Why aren't there, you know, 1,000 people there doing every shop thing in the world and learning this stuff? Because I don't see, I'd love to know all that stuff, you know, to be woodworking and all that kind of stuff. I'd be, you know, I should love to have taken a couple of those things, those kinds of classes. I'm not above it. Matter of fact, I love it. There's no thought in any of these places to open up these schools at night for the people who don't have a job, teaching them a skill. There's no thought to think outside the box or actually do anything. To me, the teachers union, I don't know what they do all day. I mean, some I'm sure, I shouldn't say that they don't teach. Obviously they do, but I mean, why, we got whole neighborhoods where people don't have jobs. Why don't we have these, why isn't Tilden Tech open at night teaching people how to be a carpenter or something? What's wrong with us?
This is where I'm at. I just do not understand why people are thinking, well, I can build a house and then it'll be done like in January and I can at least have the rate I have now. It's no, that's not really going to work. But there's no plan for the future. I just do not understand. I'm not saying we can't have the immigrants come. I'm saying we have no plan.
Why is it, I mean, if you were to give somebody first year economics, first month economics, and you were to say property taxes went up, what does it do to the price of the house? Every person would say, well, the price of the house goes down because it's the monthly nut that people can afford or can't. We've got taxes going up, we've got insurance is up, what, 25% last year? Maybe not as much here as it is in other places.
Mine's up 30%. I just got, you know, the bill the other day.
How is it this is not reflected in these house prices? Just because the only people trading now are the people that have the wealth in the house they had before?
I think that's it then.
So it's kind of, would you say it's a, I won't say a fake market, but it's a limited market like that, Nance, that we're being priced at?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, when I was younger,
you're still young, man.
Well, I mean, I used to listen to this talk when, you know, gas went to 50 cents a gallon in the wait lines, and oh my God, milk and bread are going to go to a dollar. Well, it's here, and we've all lived through it, right? So maybe we're just not recognizing it. But I see, like you're saying, the health services going down. I heard something interesting yesterday where the people were looking at the house because they're strictly on call nursing. So really? They have to be there after they get the call, they have to be there within, you know, so much time. And so they want to live close to the hospitals where they can actually get there in time. So they're not really an employee, they're just on call.
Well, but you mentioned that when the prices went up years ago, we all lived through it. But look at the change. And I'm not about to say, you know, who should be working and who should be home or whatever. There's no way in hell in most families now one person carries the deal. And I'm going to say, that the issues you have with kids, certainly in a lot of neighborhoods, not having parents around is a big deal. I mean, there's been a massive change. I mean, you're the one who brought up, you, Nancy, brought up the part about how many people do you business with now where they really have 2.5 jobs, where somebody's working part-time in addition to both people working. I mean, what kind of strain does that do if you have 4 kids, for God's sake?
Right.
I mean, I'm not saying, the guy should be working and the lady at home, but I'm saying somewhere along the line now that's a strain. Because obviously parenting is a full-time job, I think.
Well, to give you an example, last night we were just talking in general, and someone had just retired. She's in her 70s, just retired, and she said that her son and daughter-in-law are both required to go at the same time to 2 different, you know, seminars. And she showed us the Excel spreadsheet she was given as to what 4 children, who has to be where, at what time of the pickups are. These kids are enrolled in everything. And I'm not saying that's bad. I'm just saying, how do you fit all this in? How do you, where do you find someone that's going to be able to do all that?
Well, it used to be you played Little League half a mile away, if that was that far. Now everything, I mean, you're a taxi cab for kids. Nobody knows what a taxi cab is anymore. When's the last time you rode in a taxi cab?
Say Uber.
Yeah. What's that? John, I think we should buy, what do you think? Should we buy, Matt Burns got all kinds of money. Mm. What, should we buy a couple of cab medallions before the convention? What are they down to?
Oh, the Democratic convention?
Yeah, what are they down to, John? Like 10 grand? 8 grand? Something like that?
Yeah. I think we should buy 216 West Jackson, Tom, and make it a retirement home for the Stocks and Jocks community.
Well, we each get a floor? Well, it's right above Luke. Whatever you need, a beef sandwich, you're right down.
For a song, so.
Well, what do you guys, we got a dash here, but market has been showing a little weakness. Today we're coming back the other way. What do you guys think? Is there an issue with some of these companies, or too high, or is it just going to be the usual buy the dip?
I'm waiting, Tom. I'm waiting for a major correction.
Well, what's a major correction? You're down in your SMCI is down 200 points in one day. What do you need for a correction? For God's sake, if you thought it was,
I mean bigger than that.
So you want it down to like 71, not 715?
Well, yeah, I don't want it, but I'm waiting for it.
God, Nance, we're gonna see you one of these days. I actually saw John last week.
I wasn't invited. You guys,
I do exist, Nancy.
He came out, so sat there with a bunch of. What did the one of the lawyers is this guy? What kind of a character? What did his daughter accuse him of, Jan? Of being a white, what was it? Somebody who's taken all the money from other people, a white...
Robber baron?
Robber, something along those lines. How can you live with yourself if you're a white robber baron? The guy does lawyer work for like low...
That's called a breadwinner these days.
Yeah, low-income people. Anyway.
Oh, God.
It's in a... He goes, so I'm not going to see her too often. Okay, SP futures up 29, NASDAQ futures up 120. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Just hope the Chicago area comes out of this mess. Mm. How bad is this summer going to be with this convention? Are we going to have a zillion people demonstrating here? What are we doing?
Oh yeah, Tom. I'll be the point person for that. I'm already doing research and all the people waiting to pick it and blow stuff up.
Well, should we get a move to the suburbs for a week and live with Nance and Audrey?
I even go farther away.
All you have to do is be able to walk dogs, and Nance will have you in her place.
We'll have you there.
She has no problem. We'll be back tomorrow, Stocks and Jocks.
Okay.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to ptisecurities.com. PTI Pro Direct. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at ptiprodirect.com. Nadex. Offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit nadex.com. HomeSource Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit hamzyanalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. DAX Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.
I can't help thinking somewhere in the universe there has to be something better than man.